In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Fathers, dear faithful, in our Catholic doctrine class in the past few weeks, we've been looking at a beautiful encyclical on marriage by Pope Leo XIII entitled Arcanum Divinae. One of the things that the Pope says at the beginning of this encyclical is the following. The universal church has always taught that Christ our Lord raised marriage to the dignity of a sacrament, that two husband and wife, guarded and strengthened by the heavenly grace, which is merits gained for them, he gave the power to attain holiness in the married state. You know that it was at the wedding feast of Cana that our Lord raised marriage to the level of a sacrament. And at that point, marriage was no longer a natural institution with merely natural ends, but marriage was given the capacity to achieve supernatural things. Each sacrament is a sign of a sacred reality and also has the capacity to cause that sacred reality. So what Pope Leo is saying is that when our Lord made marriage a sacrament, he gave it the capacity to achieve this supernatural reality, the holiness of the father and the mother, the husband and the wife. Marriage, your sacramental marriage, has the capacity to make you a saint. It has the graces to make you a saint. The sacred reality that is signified by marriage is the union of Christ himself with his beloved church, with his bride. And so what's meant to happen over time in the course of a marriage is that through the sacramental graces that are given in marriage, the husband resembles Christ more and the wife resembles Christ's church more, his bride. That is what is meant to happen. That is what God is giving you graces to make happen. So it's good for us to ask periodically how we're living our state of life, and for the couples of our parish to ask, how are things going in my marriage? Is my marriage being a source of holiness for me? Am I becoming holier in my marriage, in my state of life over time or not? I think there's a few things we can look at to try to see if that is happening. The first thing concerns prayer. Certainly, we would expect that the graces given to you in marriage will incline you to pray more as a married couple than you prayed before you were married. Every single one of us, when we're young, we think we're on top of the world. We think we've got everything under control. And then we enter into our state of life and we find it a bit overwhelming. We find it challenging. We find it difficult. And married couples certainly experience that. They get into marriage and they say, like, wow, this is a huge affair. This is kind of overwhelming. This task of having a happy marriage, having a good relationship with my spouse, and also raising a family, raising up these children for eternal salvation. And it's just natural for a Catholic, whenever they're faced with a difficulty, whenever they're overwhelmed, that they turn to prayer. They're going to pray. And as I say, I think God really gives to couples this inclination that when they enter into their marriage and they have these big responsibilities that are placed upon their shoulders now, and they realize how difficult it is going to be, he inclines them to get on their knees more than they did before they were married, and to ask God to bless their marriage, to give them the strength that's necessary for them to accomplish the purposes of their union. It's a beautiful thing when that happens. It's a sanctifying thing. This is one of the ways in which marriage is meant to make the couple holier, because it inclines them to be more spiritual, and it inclines them to draw closer to God so that they have what they need to accomplish the purposes of their marriage. I don't understand when it happens sometimes where you have Catholic marriages and and years pass by, and still the family is not praying together, or they're not praying their daily rosary. You know, we're in this month of the Holy Rosary, and we all know that the family rosary is so important for the success of the family, but also as well when a man or a woman gets married, and years pass, and they're still not really praying any more than they used to. Do they think that they've got everything under wraps, that they don't need the assistance of God? Maybe that's the impression that they have, but it's not true. It's not true. Certainly, your marriage, your state of marriage, is meant to incline you more to prayer. And if you're doing that, it's a sign that your marriage is making you holier. The second thing is just when we consider the relationship of the spouses with one another. God designed marriage in such a way that he gives graces to the spouses such that they're able to live in a harmonious way together, that they're able to be considerate, more considerate than they used to be. They're able to be more sacrificial. They're able to be more unselfish over time to one another. You know how it goes. It's just this reality of the way that God designed us. There's this thing that we call falling in love. And there's that period where the boyfriend and the girlfriend, when they're courting, they have this infatuation for one another, completely consumed with one another. There's that special type of attraction that God has placed in the heart of a man and a woman to make this happen. But at the same time, that's just a phase. That's not meant to last forever. That's meant to lead the couples to say, I think that I want to spend the rest of my life with this person. I think I want to get married, commit my life to this other person. I find them so attractive. And then they get married, and of course, that sort of type of love, the infatuated love, goes away. It's meant to go away. It's not meant to last forever. And when it goes away, that sort of special behavior that's only for the in-love time goes away, and then they go back to their regular habits. They go back to their normal self. And that's when the test comes. God has designed marriage to be a test of your virtue of charity, that when you no longer have this sort of infatuated love, which, let's be honest, is mixed with a lot of selfishness. It's very gratifying. It makes you feel good, but it's a bit selfish. And so when that passes away, and then you're settling down into marriage, the big question becomes for each of the spouses. And if you're wondering who I'm preaching to you to today, I'm not preaching to your spouse. I'm preaching to you in the sermon. So the question becomes, am I virtuous enough to desire the goodness and the happiness, the good and the happiness of my spouse at all times, no matter what my spouse is doing? That is the mark of true love. Am I capable of rising to true love? Not the infatuated love, but the true love to where I want to do good to my spouse all the time, no matter what is happening. How often in a marriage, it's just there's this kind of type of exchange where if one spouse doesn't do something good, then the other responds in kind. That evil is returned for evil in a marriage. But blessed is the spouse who is able to always return good, no matter what the other spouse is doing. And as I say, God put you in this situation. He's designed marriage, and he's made marriage a sacrament. And so he gives you graces to incline you, to assist you to be virtuous, no matter what the behavior of your spouse is. For instance, to remain silent when your spouse does something annoying, instead of snapping at your spouse. To give up your own desires to the desires of your spouse in things that are not important. Just say, let's do it your way. To be sensitive to the things that please or displease your spouse. And to truly seek to please your spouse by doing things that they like. By trying to make them happy and avoid things that displease them. And as I say, above all, to always will the good of the spouse. What can I do for the good of my husband or of my wife? So when this happens, when the spouses are always seeking one another's good, they are being virtuous. They are practicing virtue. They are giving up themselves, their own inclinations, for the good of their husband or their wife. And also, they have a happy marriage. They're both holy and they're happy. But when it's just a question of tit for tat, and I'm just going to return whatever I receive in kind, I'm just going to pursue my own interests. I don't even know what my spouse likes. I don't even know what their preferences are. I don't even care. You know, it's really sad. It's a sad thing when years pass in a marriage and this growth in charity does not happen. When the spouses are not trying to accommodate one another and not trying to look for the good of one another, and the situation devolves to the point to where they are just even become enemies. The marriage, the sacramental marriage that was meant by God, designed by God to be an occasion for them to grow in holiness, has only been an occasion for them to grow in vice. This is a very sad thing. The third way that the spouses are meant to become holier is through their children. If God blesses their union with children, raising children obviously is a very, very difficult task. It's the monumental task of the parents. And one of the things that makes it difficult is you don't know how they're going to turn out. It's a long job. It's 18 years before they kind of grow up. And you're preparing them this whole time for their adult life. And you don't really know what's going to happen, what they're going to do, until they grow up and they leave home and they live their adult life. And you're just kind of anticipating, you're hoping that what all this preparation that you're doing is going to turn out well. But one thing you can be assured of is that whatever they do, by and large, in the vast majority of cases, the children will do what their parents have taught them to do. Again, it's by the design of God that the children receive the major influences of their life, the major formation of their life from their parents. Their parents model life for them. They show them how to live. That's where children learn how to live. It's from their home and from the example that their parents give them. So how your children end up is how you've taught them to live their life. I think parents are very conscious of this. It's just a simple fact of life. And as I say, God gives you graces to love your children and to really want their good. He's given you this powerful motive to make sure that your children save their souls and that they have a good life, that they have a good adult life. And in those graces, above all, God is inspiring you, hopefully, to be virtuous. That you realize that the best way I can assist my children to have a good life is for myself to live a virtuous life. If I practice virtues, they're going to learn much more from the way you live your life than from what you say to them. So it's, again, a test of charity. Do you really love your children? If you love your children, then you're going to model for them the type of life that they are meant to lead by living a virtuous Catholic life. That is going to be to their good. So often today, unfortunately, parents just use their children for their own selfish purposes. They use their children to gratify them, and they shirk the proper duty of parenting by not forming their children, kind of like what we do with pets. We just use the cat or dog to gratify us instead of actually training the children, disciplining the children, giving them responsibility, preparing them for all the things that they're going to need to do in their adult life. This is hard work. This is difficult. It takes a lot from the parents. So if the parents love their children, they're not going to use them for their own gratification. They're going to form them, they're going to prepare them for their adult life, they're going to teach them how to be virtuous. And, you know, parents are meant to get better over time through the experiences they have with raising their children, especially with our traditional Catholic families where the parents have a lot of children. There's something that we can call like second chance parenting, where they do have the ability to say, oh, well, the older ones, this is how they've grown up, and perhaps we could have done a few things better. If your children grow up and they're turning out great, then just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a good job. Don't change anything. Just keep doing the same thing. Sometimes it's hard when you get older. It's like I'm getting tired. Well, just keep going. Persevere. You're doing a good job. But if the parent, if the children, if they're not turning out so well, then you have another chance with the second batch. You're able to say, like, reflect and say, okay, what could we have done better? Perhaps we could have done this better or that better, and improve our parenting style. But this is the big question: Are the children keeping the faith when they leave home? Are the children able to shoulder adult level responsibility? Are they able to take on life and live on their own in this life? Do they have sufficient motivation to pursue marriage or to pursue a vocation? Or are they just kind of not growing up? They're not maturing. These are the sorts of questions that you want to ask yourself. So, my dear faithful, each day, God willing, if you pray your rosary together, and you pray this prayer that we pray, you say, O Lord, grant us many holy Catholic families. We pray this because that is the most important thing for our families, for our couples, that they be holy. That is the true ingredient for success in a family, is that the father and the mother are holy. And the good news is that God gives you graces through the sacrament of matrimony for you to advance in holiness, for the husband to become more like Christ, for the wife to become more like the bride of Christ. Firstly, as I say, by living an ardent prayer life, that the couple, they actually pray, they have an interior life. Secondly, through their relationship with one another, that they are charitable to one another. They truly love one another by looking for the good and the happiness of their spouse at all times, no matter how their spouse acts. And then thirdly, by the good parenting, that they're motivated to truly foster the virtues that they need in their life so that they can show their children how to live a good Catholic life. And they can expect that when their children leave home, they will also be good Catholics and be able to form good families. I just want to leave you with a quotation from this encyclical, Arcanum Divinae, of Pope Leo XIII. It kind of encapsulates all that I've been trying to say in the sermon. He says, husband and wife are bound to have such feelings for one another as to cherish always very great mutual love, to be ever faithful to their marriage vow, and to give one another an unfailing and unselfish help. As regards children, parents are bound to give all care and watchful thought to the education of their offspring and their virtuous upbringing. Fathers, bring your children up in the discipline and correction of the Lord. From this we see clearly that the duties of husbands and wives are neither few nor light. Although to married people who are good, these burdens become not only bearable but agreeable, owing to the strength which they gain through the sacrament. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.